If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Brewer Sam Adams is releasing a new limited edition beer that contains 28% alcohol by volume. Said Boston residents, ah, Christ, not another light beer.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to actor Amy Adams. But first, a closer look.
Several polls, including one by Fox News itself, have now shown that President Biden's vaccine requirements and other COVID measures are widely popular. So Republicans and right-wing pundits have been forced to come up with increasingly insane arguments against them. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. One way you can tell that the Republican Party is intellectually bankrupt is that they spend very little time talking about policy and a lot more time talking about bad conspiracy theories they concocted out of nowhere. It's so hard to keep up with the right-wing rumor mill that sometimes I'll only find out about one after it's been debunked. Yesterday, I was scrolling through Twitter and saw a Snopes headline that said, "No, Joe Biden is not a Westworld robot created by George Soros to steal your hamburgers." And I thought, all right, I forgot to tape Judge Jeanine last night. Say what you want about the Democrats, and there's plenty to criticize about centrists standing in the way of major legislation, but at least the progressives in the party, like Budget Committee Chairman Bernie Sanders, are trying to pass a $3.5 trillion package that would, among other things, establish a universal pre-K program and a new child care benefit for working families, extend the expansions of the child tax credit, the earned income tax credit, and child and dependent care tax credit, create the first federal paid and medical leave benefit, add dental, vision, and hearing benefits to Medicare, and make investments aiming to meet Biden's goal of reducing economy-wide carbon emissions by 50%. And in defense of the bill, Bernie has deployed some of his trademark sarcasm.
Now, I understand that Senator McConnell, the Republican leader, and others are really shocked by this bill. They cannot believe it. Imagine, just imagine, that the United States Senate is addressing the needs of working families and is going to stand up for ordinary Americans rather than just the wealthy and powerful. What is this world coming to? Don't we understand that here in the Senate, we're supposed to take campaign contributions from the drug companies and the insurance companies and the fossil fuel industry and from the 1% and do their bidding? Isn't that the way it has always been done here in the U.S. Senate? Well, Senator McConnell, things are changing.
I like that Bernie takes on the right the same way he takes on a waiter who brings him soup but no spoon. Oh, this is fantastic soup without a spoon. Maybe I'll just use my fork, famously designed for use with liquids. Or maybe you'll be good enough to bring me one of those wide McDonald's straws so I don't give myself an aneurysm trying to get the chicken chunks up. So the left is focused on trying to pass a far reaching bill that would transform child care, expand the social safety net, and tackle climate change, among other things. And what's the MAGA crowd doing? Are they offering any alternative solutions? Or are they asking Eric Trump about Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend's swollen balls?
We saw what happened to Nicki Minaj this week. She's facing backlash for tweeting to her 22 million followers that a friend of her cousin had issues with the vaccine, and now they're trying to cancel her.
Well, that's exactly right. They'll try and cancel everybody. I mean, I've lived cancel culture probably better than any person in the world. And if you speak out against them, if you disagree with them, they cancel you, they try and arrest you, they try and prosecute you. It's amazing kind of the, you know, injustice in this country. And America was always this country that stood for, you know, equal weights of justice on both sides. I mean, it's a national symbol of ours, the scales of justice. We don't have that anymore. It reminds me of a banana republic, Maria. It really does.
First of all, you doofus, the scales of justice are not equal weights on both sides. The whole point is that the evidence on one side outweighs the evidence on the other. That's why court cases never end in ties. Also, who said Nicki Minaj is canceled? I mean, I disagree with her on vaccines, and I think spreading misinformation is dangerous, but she's still an amazing artist. And if her next song rhymed Vax, Sax, and Biden Call Me Back, I'd be happier than anyone. It's also great when the same people who scream fake news treat a Nicki Minaj tweet about her cousin's friend's balls like it's unimpeachable information. She just tweeted a rumor she heard that obviously wasn't true. She's not reporting live outside a hospital on CNN. Day 8 of Ball Watch, we go now live to Nicki Minaj. Also, when something reminds Eric Trump of a banana republic, it's probably referring to a time he thinks he was treated rudely at the store. Maria, this whole thing reminds me of being told I could only bring 7 items into the dressing room at one time, to which I said, maybe you should have a smaller collection of chinos. But that isn't even the weirdest topic of conversation Maria Bartiromo entertained on her show this weekend. In the same hour, she also asked Ted Cruz about a conspiracy theory that the White House has been cutting off Joe Biden's microphone, which has already been debunked by fact checkers, as well as reality. And Cruz went along with it.
President Biden's microphone apparently looked like it was cut off at one point this past week. Do you believe he's making these decisions on Afghanistan and these leadership missteps?
Well, I would say it's a disturbing pattern where it seems they cut off his microphone anytime he might say something that his handlers don't want. There's no doubt that President Biden's capacity is severely diminished, and his White House handlers amplify that impression when they keep him locked up in a basement all day long.
You know, they tried this basement line in the campaign, and it didn't work, probably because it wasn't true. And even if it was, after 4 years of Trump, voters were thinking, a basement president doesn't sound that bad. They're also probably super bummed that if a mute button exists, they didn't use it for Trump. Could have used it during that Boy Scout speech. But apparently, this mic-canceling button theory, repeatedly debunked, is a thing in right-wing circles, so much so that it's been repeated on Fox News and even in an official hearing of the United States Senate.
I don't know. Is somebody telling him that he can't continue, and now are they to the point where they're controlling when he has to end his speaking?
Has he thought or read anything that people are writing about him and how they cut off his microphone rather than ask questions?
Somebody in the White House has authority to press the button and stop the president, cut off the president's speaking ability and sound. Who is that person?
I think anyone who knows the president, including members of this committee, knows that he speaks very clearly and very deliberately for himself. No one else does.
Well, are you saying that there is no one in the White House that can cut him off? Because yesterday that happened, and it's happened a number of times before that. It's been widely reported that somebody has the ability to push the button and cut off his sound and stop him from speaking. Who is that person?
There is no such person.
Are you telling this committee that this does not happen, that there's no one in the White House who pushes the button and cuts him off in mid-sentence?
That's correct.
First of all, if a button like that existed, Shoemaker would have it for me because he is a power-hungry. Second, how psyched do you think Secretary of State Antony Blinken was, not even a month after the Afghanistan withdrawal, to get to field questions about a non-existent mute button? What's next? Now, Secretary Blinken, I want to ask you about the Americans still trying to leave Afghanistan, but before I do, does the president tape pictures of naked ladies on the inside of his aviators? Also, anytime you find yourself on the same page as Brian Kilmeade, that's a hint you're doing it wrong. It's like looking over during the SATs and realizing you have the same answers as the kid who has to sing the bunny rabbit song to tie his shoes. Psst, do you have the answers written on your hand? Oh, no, that's just SAT, so I don't forget what tests I'm taking. This is what the right is talking about rather than actual policy, and that's because Biden's COVID policies are fairly popular with the majority of Americans, including his newly announced vaccine mandate, which multiple polls have now shown has majority support. In fact, even a Fox News poll out this weekend found that voters support mask mandates and Biden's new vaccine requirements, whether in businesses, indoor establishments, or schools.
69% of people say that wearing a mask is a good way to help. And 54% of people support mandatory proof of vaccine to enter indoor establishments. The survey found a majority of respondents support mask and vaccine mandates for schools and businesses.
It's always funny to me when Fox conducts an accurate poll that contradicts what their own hosts are telling their audience. That's as damning as the results of their poll. Do you think Joe Biden lives in the basement or a different part of the White House? I mean, their own polling is telling them mask and vaccine mandates are popular with the majority of Americans, and yet their hosts are still saying stuff like this.
If they can force you to take a vaccine that you don't need, what can't they do? Why don't they, I don't know, make you take psychiatric drugs if you're persistently disobedient, express the wrong view, get a Thorazine shot? Why couldn't they do that? What's the limiting principle on them? In fact, you can imagine a panel of CNN doctors explaining that we'd all be a lot safer if the mentally ill propagandists on the radical right got the treatment they need and stopped spreading their dangerous conspiracy theories. So giving them psychotropic meds is an urgent matter of public health. Does that sound far-fetched?
Why is Tucker so concerned that someone might give him psychotropic drugs? It's awfully specific for him to use as a random example. Did it come up recently, like at his last physical? All right, Tucker, mostly great. Blood pressure a little high. And have you ever thought about Thorazine? Also, if you don't want people recommending psychotropic meds, try to drop that quiet chuckle you did to yourself. You never see a guy sitting on a bench in Central Park laughing at nothing and think, I'm going to go ask that guy for stock tips. We'll say this, though. Cable news ever gets boring for Tucker, he'd make a hell of an improviser because my man knows how to heighten. If they can force you to take a vaccine, what can't they force you to do? Can they force you to take psychotropic meds? Make you wear a seatbelt? Make you put your shoes on at Olive Garden, even though they tell you when you're here, your family. And then when you try to fill a briefcase with unlimited breadsticks, can they call security? And when you explain to them that if they didn't want people to put breadsticks in their suitcases, they should put a sign up saying as much, can they then roll their eyes and say, let's please not do this again, Mr. Carlson, because it's the same argument you made the last time you were there. And when you say you could put the sign right there and point to the wall behind them and then run for the front door when they turn around only to crash into the hostess station, can they stand over you pointing and laughing? Well, I'm here to tell you they can. Because it happened to me last night. Every day, it just becomes clearer and clearer that these guys have no idea what they're talking about. For example, Congressman Madison Cawthorn went on Newsmax last week and said this.
This is the medical apartheid, plain and simple. There's over 100 million Americans who are not vaccinated. I think it's even more than that. And if they want to start shutting down air travel for these people to get around the country, I think that's actually a constitutional violation because you actually have a constitutionally protected right to free, unrestricted travel within the United States of America. And I genuinely believe that what's going on right now is that all that's going to happen if United Airlines and American Airlines and Delta even, if they decide to start requiring vaccine mandates, let me tell you, I'm very confident there will be another air carrier that will come to the field and patriots like myself and you will give them all of our business.
Yes, everyone knows you have a constitutional right to unrestricted air travel. Who can forget Paul Revere's famous words? One if by land, two if by sea, three if by Southwest with a six-hour layover at Chicago Midway. Also, imagine if what he said came true and there was an airline that specifically served the unvaccinated. No frills, no rules, all chaos. At Patriot Airlines, you don't board by group number. You board based on how much you love America. There will be disagreements. Allergic to peanuts? Too bad. We put it in the coffee. And the armrest always belongs to whoever wants it the most, Patriot Airlines, where the arrival gate always has a team of air marshals waiting to make arrests. These guys really think the Constitution says you have the right to get on an airplane unvaccinated and cough all over everyone. Although, as we know, there are apparently some prominent Republicans who do believe airplanes were around during the writing of the Constitution.
The Continental Army suffered a bitter winter of Valley Forge, found glory across the waters of the Delaware, and seized victory from Cornwallis of Yorktown. Our army manned the airport. It ran the ramparts. It took over the airports. It did everything it had to do.
When that speech was over, even Trump wished his staff had a mute button. Did I say airports instead of ramparts? I'm afraid so, Mr. President. Well, next time hit the button. That's what the button's for. That's why I do this. You know how you press a button? Progressives are pushing forward with a transformative bill that would expand health care, widen the social safety net, and tackle climate change, among many other things. Meanwhile, the GOP has no interest in debating ideas, so instead they melt down about vaccines and make up conspiracy about presidential mute buttons. These guys shouldn't be in Congress. They're barely qualified to work at
a banana republic.
This has been A Closer Look.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
Our first guest tonight is an Oscar-nominated Golden Globe-winning actress you know from films like American Hustle and Vice, as well as HBO's Sharp Objects. She stars in Dear Evan Hansen, which is in theaters September 24th. Please welcome back to the show, Amy Adams. Hello, Amy. It's always good to see you.
Hi, Seth. It's good to see you, too. How are you?
I am wonderful. This is now the third time I have been lucky enough to check in with you remotely, and I want to just see where we're going as far as hobbies. I feel like early on, we were messing around with stringed instruments. Felt like maybe we abandoned that one.
I did abandon. Well, yeah, did.
Okay,
yeah, I didn't,
thank you.
I didn't
it felt like you were going to maybe say no, but then you came. You found your way to the truth.
I did. I was going to maybe baby lie on that one. And then I thought, no, the truth is easier. Yeah.
Then we talked a little about dancing. I feel like your daughter really has the skills that maybe made you think she's my daughter. I probably have the skills too. How's the dancing going?
Dancing's going okay. I had been dancing for a film that we'll talk about later, but I thought, okay, I'm going to get into this TikTok thing.
Very wise.
Which is mortifying
very wise.
For her. I'm not on TikTok. And so the only TikTok dance that I have even partially learned is from the Applebee's commercial, because I don't know if you know that song, Fancy Like.
Yes, Walker Hayes. Yes, very, very. Yes, we had him here doing it. Yes.
I'm always behind on everything, so I actually thought that was just an Applebee's commercial.
Right.
No.
Really, you're right. That's when you know your age is when you think it's from the commercial.
That Applebee's jingle is really catchy. Yeah. But the dance is catchy, too, so that's the only one I've actually learned.
Can you, from a sitting position, is there any of that you can show us as far as what that TikTok dance is?
I can try.
Okay, great.
Okay. Yeah, we're fancy like Applebee's on a date night. Got a Bourbon Street steak and an Oreo shake. Got a whipped cream on the top, too. Two straws, one check. Yeah, I got you. It's what's happening down here is just as good. So you can just
okay. Yeah. Will you just send us a tape of that later and we'll marry the two.
Sure.
Your daughter is
that's
how
not
old?
Embarrassing at all for my daughter what I just did.
Well, that's what I was gonna ask. How is she responding? By the way, they say you probably it's not safe to do a TikTok dance if you're old enough to have a row of vinyl behind you.
This is probably true.
How does she feel when you do your dances?
I think the word she uses is cringe.
Oh, no.
But she's patient with me. I've been embarrassing her for 11 great years and, more to come.
There you go. Very much more to come. Yeah. This is really cool. I know that you were, like many people, a huge fan of Dear Evan Hansen when it was on Broadway. It must be so nice to be involved in this project now that it's on film.
It's amazing. I'm so honored to be a part of this. It's got such beautiful messaging, beautiful, talented actors. And again, I'm just honored to be a part of it. Broadway and stage is my first love. So it's nice to get to honor it in this way.
I'm sure people are often very nervous and excited to meet you, but this was a reverse when you got to work with Ben Platt because you'd been so blown away by him on stage. Is that right?
Yeah, I was very, it's weird because it's intimidated, but it's only by his talent because as a human, he's just so gracious and wonderful. To like sing in front of him at our first table read was terrifying. But again, he's so gracious. I mean, because he shows you what's possible and then you sing and then it's what you do, which is right. Different, you know?
He shows you what's possible for Ben Platt. I think that is maybe a fair way to put it. Did you enjoy getting to spend time with, you know, what must be, obviously this is a show where a lot of the cast are played by younger people.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I say that, that sounded doubtful. I love them. But again, I get so excited. And Caitlin Dever was someone that I had been sort of online pursuing. I don't like the S word, but I was sort of getting to know all about her online and really, really love her work. She's a beautiful singer. And then we met, I sort of gushed all over her. And then we did have some musical things in common. So then I thought, you know, well, I'm just as cool as her, which I'm not. So,
did you bring that back and report that to your daughter as evidence that you're a cool young person?
Yeah, I would say, Caitlin knows who Brett is. So I must be cool.
And then did her just like eyes glass over?
You know what? She's at this place where she's actually really kind to me about it. Like she can see my struggle and she's patient with it.
I think that means you're a good mom, that you've raised such an empathetic daughter who feels so deeply for her cringy mom's feelings.
I'm going to take that as a win. Yeah.
So we talked about this a little bit last time you're here. I'm sure it's farther down the line now, but you're doing Disenchanted, which is a sequel to Enchanted. This is a very, a long gap between the two. Has it been just a delight to return to the character?
It has been wonderful. That's the film I was talking about that I was training and dancing again for. It's been wonderful. She's returning to Giselle. She has such a positive attitude and so much energy and really always tries to see the best in people. And that's something I always try to remind myself to do. So it's nice to return to her.
I feel like you took on a hobby that, like, unlike learning to play the cello, was one that you could accomplish. It's one for other people to accomplish. And I'm actually, when I heard that you were doing it, I'm like, I think that sounds pretty good. You started binge watching Murder, She Wrote.
I did. I love Murder, She Wrote. And next on the list is Matlock. Maybe I'll get Caitlin Dever to watch it. There's a reason. We'll talk about it sometime. I know, but when I did, when I used to do dinner theater, I didn't have cable. And so the only thing on when I got home at night, it was like 11 or 12, was Matlock and Murder, She Wrote. So I'm now revisiting those.
I think that it's a really nice bookend that we started talking about TikTok and we ended talking about Matlock.
Kind of. Well, yeah. That's a little peek inside there.
So. Hey, it's always so great to see you next time. I'm feeling very confident next time is going to be in person.
Yes, 100%. We'll make that happen.
All right, great. Thanks so much, Amy.
And then you can see the feet.
Oh, man, I'll don't oversell it because we're going to take a real look at these feet.
Okay, fair enough.
Dear Evan Hansen is in theaters September 24th.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries, and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law & Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.